Before we begin, let's take a few moments to worship the Supreme One, the Infinitely Compassionate One, the Sublime One, the Tathagata, by chanting Namaskara three times all together and with me. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Every week we start with the same question. How was your week? Because we only get to see each other once a week. Now, most of us here today are monks, anagarikas, sila shavikas, and sila uvesis. And so we do have the opportunity to live and breathe in the monastery. And therefore, we have countless opportunities to spend a time to understand, to try to comprehend the Dhamma. But then there's others. Outside these four walls of the monastery. I think yesterday I was very fortunate to be able to go and talk to some children from another international school, Lyceum. And one of the first things that came to my mind was how lucky we are. So I got to talk to a group of A-level students. But as we were leaving the building, school was over. So you can see the hundreds or maybe even thousands of children just walk past our van. Right, each of them holding different things. I think one of them was holding a rocket. Others were holding some sort of project they were working on. And in our hands, we also have a project we're working on. Although you can't see it. What's our project? Our project is the project of our own mind. Day by day, we work on these projects. Sometimes even hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, we're working on a project. We're working on a project to clean and purify our own mind. To get rid of its own defilements. And I thought, you know, how lucky we are to be able to, you know, have the Dhamma. You know, some of us may have just started our path. Some of us may be further than others on this path, but yet we're still on a path. And we're extremely lucky. Not only children, there are teachers. And, we were in the van, and I think people didn't see that we were in the van, so we can hear the conversations. And some teachers are like, oh, you know, after this, you know, do you want to go and go to this restaurant and have this food? Oh, or I heard a conversation saying, oh, did you watch this program last night? And I'm sitting inside this van with five other monks. And I feel this bliss, thinking that we no longer need that. We no longer need, you know, food to be happy. Like, I don't think any one of us here today might go to the Dhamma hall hoping that today I want pizza for Dhani. Or today I want this for Dhani or that for Dhani. We no longer go in search. Now, that doesn't mean when you get, you know the paripu and the soya and whatever we get, that you don't feel pleasure. Of course that can happen, but we no longer go about seeking for it. Now, those of us who are resident in the monastery, we don't go out seeking, oh, I didn't watch this TV show last night, let me catch up on that. Oh, I didn't see this game last night, oh, I should, you know, let's see the highlights. We no longer do that. We no longer need this to be happy. We no longer search happiness in these sort of things. You know, it's always good to look in the future, not look at the future, look at what needs to be. And it's always good to look at what has happened. So I want each and every one of you just to take a moment to think about the life that you have lived and how much change them has made in your lives. You know, these days my mother has also come back to Sri Lanka, right, to stay for another 2 months. And every time we talk, you know, she says, you know, I wish your sisters can also understand this. And she says, you know, do you remember in the past you were like this? And I say, you know, my past, right? No, I wasn't a horrible person in the past, don't worry. But every time I think about my past, you know, my stomach starts hurting. You know, I feel the need to like, you know, go to a side and like barf a bit. Because you look at the past and you think, why did I do that? What was in my mind to have done sort of thing? In search of happiness? You know, we look at the past and we think, or look at what we used to do, or what we used to be, and realize how different we are now. See, use these moments to see how much you have changed. Because those are the things that motivate you to keep going forward. Now, for example, now us living in the monastery, how often do we get extremely angry, furious? Now, there's a good argument saying, well, there's not many things that make us angry. Of course. I mean, no one comes up to you and starts shouting at you. However, there are opportunities where you could get angry that would have made you angry without the Dhamma. But now, it happens and you think, okay. In your past, there may have been times where, you know, where desire has clouded your judgment and you can't see what you're doing, and once it's done, you think, why have I done that? But now when desire just comes into your mind, you realize, ah, there's desire. There's something I need to do here. Do you see the change in your own mindset? This is the thing. This is how lucky we are to be disciples of this great one. The one who understood the truth of the universe. Because we're not doing anything except understanding the truth. And I'm talking to these children. Some of these children are like, oh wait, so are you like trying to brainwash yourself? Are you brainwashing yourself? Right? Trying to get rid of your anger or your stress? Are you trying to brainwash yourself? And I said, yes. Not brainwash, mind wash. Wash away the defilements by doing what? By understanding the truth. It's not a miracle. It shouldn't be something that's surprising to see we've all changed, because it's obvious. Once you know the truth, can you live a lie? Once you know the truth, can you live with a lie? You can pretend, but no matter how hard you try, you can't live and continue to believe. Like you, I think, you know, when we were younger, we were very, you know, naive, very innocent, and so therefore parents could trick us. If you don't eat your food, you know, who's gonna come? Who? Vonibilla will come and eat you. Or, you know, on the third, when you lose your tooth, the tooth fairy will come and replace it with a pound coin. And therefore we used to believe it. But once we realize the truth, can you now pretend and actually truly believe that the tooth fairy will come every time I lose my tooth? Or Santa Claus will come down the chimney, right, to put presents under the Christmas tree on Christmas Day. On Christmas Eve, actually. We can't. Once we know the truth, you can't live a lie. So what we're doing is very simple. Just showing ourselves the truth. By showing the truth, our mind... See, This is something that Guru Hanuru, for the sermons that he did to us monks, Anagarikas, Anagarikas, that something that he showed, and something that's very obvious as well, is that Nibbana is something that happens. It's not something you and I can do. It's something that happens. All we can do is collect the causes. All we can do is put the causes together, but Nibbana itself will happen. So by just understanding the truth, you know, desire, aversion, delusion will decrease. Not because you have to do anything. It just happens. Just like that, just like that. So this is the thing. So I want you to all feel really lucky, right? And to feel how fortunate you are to be able to, you know, be able to listen and understand the Dhamma. And not only that, to appreciate how far you have gone. You know, what I'm doing right now is, you know, in the middle of a marathon, you hear these people cheering and shouting, yeah, you're halfway there. And what I'm doing here is doing the same thing, except cheering, saying, you've completed. You've completed this much. Now you have this much to complete. Now you have this much to complete. That's it. So keep going. Keep going. I think something that you come to realize is the more we do. So I mean sometimes you come to this idea that Nibbana is impossible. How on earth am I supposed to, you know, get rid of my ego? It's always there. Every single moment. Whether I'm talking with someone, whether I'm walking somewhere, whether I'm doing anything, ego is always there. How am I supposed to get rid of it? And so it's very easy to think, you know, Nibbana is impossible. However, you have all traversed this path. You have all got somewhere. So if it's impossible, how have you made it this far? If it's impossible, how have you made it this far? That means you're making the impossible what? Possible. So of course, the Dhamma is deep. The Dhamma is vast. But all we have to do is just keep swimming. So today I really wanted to touch upon this topic, and I think this is really interesting because this is something that you can actually contemplate on as well. Every moment. So, I'll use this board here. So something that we talk about in these sermons is who am I? And we've come to the conclusion that, you know, I is just a, you know, it's just a feeling that I have that arises in the mind due to ignorance, right? However, if I asked you, what do you do? What do you do? What sort of answers can we give? So if I asked you, what do you do? So, you know, what do you do? I what? Eat. What else do I do? Drink water. What else do? Sleep. What else do? I walk. What else do? I talk. Listen. What else do? I think. I feel. I see. I smell. I give some ideas. What else do we do? Taste. Thank you.
taste.
I don't know, I jump. We don't jump, but, you know, for argument's sake, I jump. So each of these are things that we do. So every single moment we do something, don't we? These are things that we feel that we do. So I eat, I taste, I listen, I smell, I drink, I see, I walk, I feel, I sleep, I think, I jump, I talk. Now we can go on. This list is endless. Because every single moment we're doing something. So I'm thinking of an idea. I'm feeling anger, or I'm feeling love, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. And we can write an entire list. However, everything here can be grouped into three groups. What are these three groups? You have verbs. Take a different color pen, let's take red. You have verbs, or things that you physically do. Eat, taste, listen, smell, drink, see, walk, sleep, jump, talk. All of these things that we physically do. Right? Physically do. In other words, we can call this what? In Pali, we call this Kaya Sankara. And then we have things that we think. So, think. Feel. And these are what? Mano Sankara. And then when it comes to talking, yes, is Kaya Sankara, because, you know, like last week we talked about, you know, diaphragm and the lungs and all this stuff. But also, not to forget that in talking, you have to have the idea of talking. Or, you know, your mind can feel, meaning have feelings, but it can also turn feelings into words. So, for example, you can read all of this in your mind. So you're not saying the word drink, you're not feeling the word drink, but you are saying it in your mind. Does that make sense? You're creating these worded thoughts. And these are what we call Vachi Sankara. So these are the three groups. So forget the Pali, right? It's just doing, physically doing, mentally doing, and formation of words. Apart from that, what else do we do? Apart from doing physically, thinking, and forming words in our minds. You can even put forming words to a side and put that as thinking as well, for now. Apart from that, what else do we do? Apart from that, what else do we do? Dreaming? That's part of thinking, isn't it? What else? Flying a kite. That's also what? Physically done. Kaya Sankara. What else? Speaking. Speaking is also part of, you know, physically speaking. Wearing clothes. That's also what? Kaya Sankara. Now, the question is, these are all the things that we can do. And these are put into three groups, right? But for now, we'll put it into two groups, because it's very easy to see. Physically done, mentally done. Now, when does eating, because the first one's eating here, right? When can you eat? When can you eat? When can you eat? Can you eat right now? Can you eat right now? It's not a trick question, I promise. Can you eat right now? Why not? Why can't you eat right now? Because? We're not hungry, that's one thing. But even if you weren't hungry, why can't you eat right now? What don't you have? I don't know. Do we have any food in front of me? We don't have food. So can eating happen now? Eating can only happen when what? When there's food. When you're hungry, or when you are peckish at least. The bare minimum, peckish. Right? And you are, the environment allows you to consume a meal. For example, you won't, you know, even though you may have food and, let's say you are hungry, but you are, let's say, somewhere where you're not allowed to eat and you can't eat. But when all the conditions are right, you can eat at this moment. You can't eat in the past. Can you? Can you eat yesterday? Can you eat yesterday? That sounds really weird, right? Eat yesterday, like you could physically eat. No, you can't eat yesterday. Can you eat tomorrow? Can eating happen tomorrow? Well, it can happen tomorrow. If only what? If only? If only the conditions are right. If only the causes come together, can you eat tomorrow? I don't think something else. Taste. Can you taste right now? Kind of, right? You can kind of taste your own saliva. But if there's no saliva, tasting is also something that you can only do at this moment. You can't do it tomorrow, you can't do it today. You can only, so let's take walking. Can you go back in time and walk? Can you go in forward in time and walk? No, walking can only happen when? At this moment. At this moment, meaning when the conditions are right, can walking happen? For example, you know, you wake up in the morning and, you know, your legs are numb. Can you walk now? Or you've been sat down on a seat for, in an uncomfortable seat for a long time and your legs have gone numb. Pins and needles. Now can you walk? No, because the conditions are not right. So these sankharas are very special. Because they can only happen when? When the conditions are correct. When the conditions are in the right way can it happen. But don't you feel that I slept yesterday? I slept in the morning. But sleeping can only happen. So I know, let me explain this as well. So I'm not talking about memory. Forget memory. Forget memory. Very strange, right? Forget memory. Imagine memory does not exist. Did you sleep in the morning? Did you sleep in the morning? Yes or no? I don't know. Did I? But if I ask you, are you sitting right now? What can you say? Yes. Are you listening right now? Are you seeing right now? You can only say that because it's happening at this moment. But regardless, everything here, whether even if it's thinking, can only happen when? At the moment where all the conditions are there. Which is not next moment, it's not the moment before, but only this moment. In other words, when the conditions are right, the effect manifests. In Pali, what we call that? Pachupanna. All of these things are pachupanna. When the conditions are right, does it manifest? When can you see yesterday? Or when can you see yesterday? When can you see yesterday? When can you see tomorrow? Seeing can only happen when? See, this is one of the most powerful, I think, powerful ways to start seeing the pachupanna moment. When you realize you can't do things in the past or the future because you can only do things now. Are you all hungry? Did you ever have breakfast? Because we will be talking a bit about food as well. We all had lunch yesterday, right? But eating can only happen when the conditions are right. So did you, so I can ask, because of memory, I can ask, did you eat yesterday? And you can only answer if the conditions are right. So if eating happened, if eating happened, then you can answer, yes, eating happened. Eating happened. Because either jumping happened or jumping didn't happen. It's either a yes or a no. Talking either happened or talking didn't happen. There are only two things. So where is the future in that? Will you talk tomorrow? Will you talk tomorrow? Okay, talk tomorrow for me. So go forward in time, talk and come back. Talking tomorrow for me. Talking yesterday for me. Go back in time and at 12:24 a.m. or p.m. Say the words, I am a cat. Do that for me. You can't, because why? You can only talk at this moment. So where is the future and past in this? Where is the future and past? Where is it? How can you say that, you know, I can jump in the past or the future? No, jumping can only happen this moment. So when you are doing something at this moment, you can only do it at this moment. However, our best friend Jati is at play. However, our best friend Jati is at play. Right? With the mother and father of ignorance and attachment. What does Jati do? Jati takes all these moments. Jati takes every single one of these moments. And just like playing dot to dot, it connects all the dots and say, this is all the things that I do. These are all the things that I do. Just like dot to dot. Every moment, Jati takes its own pen and draws all around it and says, this is everything that I do. I eat, I taste, I listen, I smell, I drink, I see. But, you know, it can't happen because I do it. You know, we forgot. I breathe. I, you know, digest. I study. If you looked at each and every one of these things that I do, what does I actually do in each of these scenarios? All right, let's take sleep. We say I slept yesterday. At exactly what time did you sleep? Not what time you went to bed. I'm asking what time you slept. Exactly what time did you sleep? I went to bed, so I'm going to answer at 10. But what time did you sleep? No clue. I don't know about you, but I don't look at the time and say, okay, it's now exactly 11:38 and I'm going to fall asleep like this. I can tell you what time I went to bed, but I can't tell you what time I went to sleep, because sleeping is not something that I do. When the conditions are right. For example, I know there are lots of people who can't sleep with the lights on. So if the conditions of light is there, the effect of sleeping cannot happen. Or, you know, there are people who can't sleep when people are talking. But then there are some people who are blessed, right, who can sleep regardless, right? Whether the lights are on, the lights are off, whether there's loud music playing in the background or not, whether, you know, they're on a bed or on a chair, they can still find a way to fall asleep. You know, it's a miracle. But still, it's still about conditions. Only when the conditions are there can sleeping happen. And this can be perfectly shown with even medication. For example, let's take a medication that we've probably all had. We've all taken Pirtan once in our life, right? Pirtan is an antihistamine and which causes drowsiness. What does that do? What does it do? It just adds causes. It adds causes which makes you feel drowsy. And if the body does not fall asleep, what happens? It will continue to feel drowsy throughout the rest of the day. So is sleep something that you can do? Or is sleep something that happens? Something that happens. Let's say walking. Now this is very nice because it's something that we have to do. I mean, you don't need to jump, but walking is something that we always do. To go from place A to go from point A to B, you're walking. Have you ever been extremely conscious when you walk? It is very difficult to do. To be extremely focused when you walk. Because if you were very focused, what you'll see is, you know, there are so many subtle things that your body does to walk. Shifting its weight. Right? Like putting its leg forward. You know, it puts its heel first. Then does it put its rest of its foot. And it does this massive process. That's why, you know, they used to find it very difficult for them to make robots walk. Because there's so many small details that needs to be there for walking to happen. But when we walk, do we think about any of this? You know, you stand up, you walk. All you think is, I need to go from here to the Dhamma hall. And walking seems to happen. We don't think about it, it just happens. So are you the one walking? But you can say, sorry, Nancy, but I can stop at any moment. I can stand up and walk at any moment. No one stopped me from walking. No, what you're doing there is taking the causes together. You're putting the causes together to make the effect of walking happen. When you don't want to walk, what do? You remove a cause. For example, you're walking on the street and you see a snake. Seeing a snake, your eye identifies it and your brain and the mind sends a signal to the brain. The brain says, stop. Does the body say, wait, let me take one more step? No, the body stops because what? Are you the one walking? Or let's say, you know, you're walking and you see a trail of ants, but you've already taken the momentum for the next step. Now your brain says stop, but your body is in motion. Can it stop halfway? Your mind says stop, your brain says stop, but can you stop halfway? Now that's why sometimes you accidentally step on a trail of ants. So even walking itself is what? Something that you do? Let's take something else. Talking. Or let's go more from talking to the actual putting together these words. Now, here's the thing. Language is one of the most beautiful and the most confusing topic that there can ever be. Because a language is made by people, and people love making exceptions. People just love making exceptions. But a language is something that continues to do what? To be changed. That's why we don't have one universal language that every country speaks. I mean, how easy would it be if everyone spoke a single language? You know, so you can go to any country in this world and the person will understand you 100%. But language works how? How does language work? How does making sentences work? Are you the one who makes a sentence? this can be beautifully seen by using by you know, technology these days are becoming really advanced, right? And so we have AI models like ChatGPT and you know Google's Gemini and whatnot, which can create sentences without what? Without thinking that I'm making sentences. Because sentences are created according to the conditions. So what it does is, it says, I. It will say I, that's okay. But then it will look for the next suitable word. Am. Then it looks for the next suitable word to define a feeling. For us, for an AI model to define its program or its output. Eating. Next suitable word is rice. And then that goes to your mind, right? The mind pops up with this idea, says it, and now you're talking. So who is actually talking? Now, if we talk about the physical aspects, right? Like last week we talked about this. The balloon. Are you the one contracting and relaxing the balloon? Are you the one who inflating and deflating the lung cavities? So talking is something that, who does it? Who's talking? Talking is something that happens. However, thanks to our best friend Jati, best friend Ego, right? Nicknamed Ego, right? With their parents, ignorance and attachment, it feels that, no, I'm the one talking. You're the ones listening. But each and every one of these can only happen at this moment. So this is one of the best karma starters that you can ever have. Because every single time, so you think about this, you know, you'll be able to go and have alms, right? Midday alms. When you have midday alms, and you know, you're now, you know, mixing and you're eating, right? When you lift up the rice, right, the mouthful of rice, what you can see is, who's lifting this up? This is what? Kaya Sankara. This is body doing. For example, it's very funny, right? As monks and as Anagarikas as well, we have a list of Sakyas, and I think even Anagarikas also follow these 75 Sakyas. And in these 75 Sakyas, it's more about almost, to put it in a very, very umbrella term, it's like having good manners, basically. It's almost like a manners, rules of manners. And so there are certain rules, like as you're eating, you shouldn't stick out your tongue and put food on your tongue and eat. I don't know, like I've seen lots of, especially my grandmother, right? That they eat with putting their tongue out and putting the food on their tongue and putting the tongue inside. Or there are other rules, like you can't put your fingers into your mouth when you're eating. And sometimes what we do in the monastery is sometimes we just observe other people and see what? Kaya Sankara. So some people eat like this, some people eat like this, some people eat like this, and you see a difference in what? Kaya Sankara. Because who's doing it? Who's doing it? The mind gives a message to the body. The body is acting according to the message. Like for example, you know, when you're drinking tea with a handle, how do you drink it? How do you hold it? Again, different people will hold it differently. Now, because of the Saikya, you know, sometimes when the Anagarikas do it wrong, we have to go and say, you know, you're eating wrong. You shouldn't put your entire hand in your mouth. Like, try not to drop as many, like, even with noble hearts, we do the same thing. So what should you be seeing? This is what? Kaya Sankara. It's something that happens at that moment. Because what we're doing is we're becoming from time, Kalika, to timeless, Akalika. I mean, the word timeless isn't the correct word here. The concept of time is not applicable. I think Guru Han said it, and it is the best way to explain Akalika. The concept of time is not applicable. Because you can't put the concept of time. When does thinking happen? Thinking happens when the causes align. Tomorrow, today, yesterday, next year, last year. No, when the causes have aligned. When does jumping happen? When the causes align. So why don't we jump? Because the causes don't align. But if it was to align, jumping will happen. For example, you're walking around and you see a snake walk under your feet. Now you what? You jump. So each and every one of these, each and every one of these are things that happen at this moment. So why do you think that you did this yesterday? That you did this, that you'll be doing this tonight? See, what we have to do is we have to understand the mindset of an arahant. What is a mindset of an arahant like? They don't feel what? I'm doing this. They feel what? This is happening. Now we have to understand what do we feel? We feel all this. Why do we feel this? Because of ignorance and attachment gave birth to ego. Therefore this happens. So what do we have to do? Now that's the question. What do we have to do? The first and foremost thing we have to do is see this as it is. See this as it is. When these things are happening, so this is something you can do every moment of the day. Every waking moment you could do this. When you're walking, when you're talking, when you're going, you know, sometimes when you're talking to someone, sometimes they talk way more than you want them to talk. It happens. You know, you will go and ask someone a simple question, a yes or no question, but they decided to take half an hour. What you should do in that time isn't just listen or find a way to quickly escape. No, look at the person and see Kaya Sankara. Their mouth is moving up and down. Their tongue is swishing and swashing around, right? Words are coming out because of their diaphragm. And see it as cause and effect. See it as anicca. That's what you should be doing. At every waking moment, that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, let's say you're walking from here to the Dhamma Hall. Be aware. What is happening right now? This is Kaya Sankara. Every step, this is what? Kaya Sankara. Who is walking? No, walking is happening because why? The cords have come together. This is what? Kaya Sankara. You're in queue, someone pushes in front of you. And you feel, you know, that's wrong. What am I feeling? What's happening? This is what? Manosankara. I'm thinking. That's Manosankara. Thinking is happening because of the causes. Manosankara. See, take every moment, every waking moment from today, tomorrow, until you can. Take every moment you possibly can and see it as mano sankhara, vachi sankhara, and kaya sankhara. Because if you see it like that, you can see it being something that can only happen at this moment. It can't happen yesterday, it can't happen tomorrow. It's something that can only happen in this moment. You know, if we were to actually look and actually see and look at all these little things, every time you see these, or every time you feel these, if you were able to see it as what it truly is, what you're doing is you're removing the food for jati. You're not giving jati a stage to dance on. You're not giving the environment for jati to arise. So what you're doing is it's almost like putting jati under siege. You know, back in the past, people, you know, what even these days as well, you know, what armies will do is put people under siege, which means just surround them and not let jati come in or out. If you put jati under siege, if you're very aware about this, the Buddha has guaranteed. What is he guaranteed? From 7 days to 7 years, maximum 7 years, minimum 7 days, if you practice, depending on how hard you practice, the Buddha guarantees what? You'll become an anagami. If you don't give nutrients, if you don't give nutrients to jati, see, all you have to do is that. Because what will happen? What will happen when you start being aware? What will happen when you start to realize, you know, this is what? Kaya Sankara. This is me picking this up is also what? Kaya Sankara. What will happen is you are now no longer identifying this to be who? Because, you know, the trap that you fall into every single day is to think that this is who? Me. Think about this. Every morning when you brush your teeth, whose teeth are you brushing? Whose teeth are you brushing? I'm brushing my teeth. You look in the mirror, who do you see in the mirror? See me in the mirror. So as monks, monks are not a guy because we don't have hair. Right? But for those of you with hair, you look in the mirror and you comb or whatever your hair, and you see what? You're combing whose hair? My hair. It's a trap that each and every one of us falls into. It's incredible. The moment you step in front of the mirror, who do you see? How many of you step in front of the mirror and see, oh, this is just a collection of causes? No, you see it and you say, this is me. But once you start to look at the world as kaya sankhara, vachi sankhara, mano sankhara, you will also be able to see things as what? Cause and effect. So you now see, when you look in the mirror, you no longer see me, but you see what? Different causes coming together to give different manifestations. So when you wake up and, you know, you wake up in the morning and you have red puffy eyes, instead of thinking, oh, I've got these puffy eyes today, what would you think? Causes come together to give what? A manifestation. No, as we grow older, we get gray hair. You see your gray hair. What would you think? This is a manifestation. Causes come together to give this manifestation. This is part of what? Because, ladies and gentlemen, the body, I think one of the best analogies you can give to the body is the body is a wound. The body is a wound. When you have a wound, what do you do? When you have a wound, what do you do to the wound? You treat it, right? So you go to a doctor or whatever, or you go to your own first aid kits at home, right? And what's the first thing you do? You clean it. Huh, that sounds very similar, right? Every day we clean our wounds. What else do we clean? Our bodies. And once we've cleaned the body and we applied the ointment, right? Then what do we do? What do? We call it? We dress the wound. Huh. Sounds very familiar, right? Dressing wound. What else do we dress? Ourselves at the body. Imagine you don't wash your wound. You just leave the wound out in the open. What happens? The wound will? It will start infecting, pus will come out, it will smell, decay, and X, Y, Z. What happens if you don't wash? Smell, and etc., etc., etc. Same thing. We dress a wound the same way we dress the body. You know, once you, if you think about it like this, right? The body is a burden that our mind has. The body is a constant burden that the mind has. But, you know, for a mind that seeks pleasure, it is something that gives them extreme amount of pleasure. But if you look at it, the mind is burdened by the body. For example, not a single one of us enjoys waking up in the morning and brushing our teeth. But it's something that we have to do. Because if we don't do it, if we don't clean the wound, what happens? It becomes infected, worms, plaque, and the teeth fall out, and you need the teeth to consume meals. And then you have regular treatments, right? You have to, you know, your body takes a treatment three times a day, sometimes two, sometimes one. But depending on who you are, you can take from one meal to one treatment to 100 treatment, one meal to 100 meals. But it's a treatment that the body has to have. The mind has to feed the body. Because why? It's a wound. It's a burden on the mind. It's a burden on the mind. That's why, you know, there are stories that when deities go into, when minds become deities, sometimes they forget to consume their food. Because they're surrounded by pleasure. And then they, poof, disappear. Because why? It's a burden on the mind. The mind why was the body, or why is the body there? Why is there a body? The body was, the only purpose of the body was because the previous minds were searching for pleasure with its senses. Sight, sound, smells, taste, touch. Therefore, a body is created. And with the body, what else comes? Responsibilities. Like responsibilities. Just think about it, right? With a body comes what? Illnesses. Unfortunately, I have a cough today, right? Some of you will have headaches, stomach aches, back aches, knee aches, you know, and then you have, you know, those are just aches. Then you have what? You've got other illnesses, terminal illnesses, pain. I mean, the body feels pain. That is one of the most biggest burdens there is. The body feels what? The body feels pain. You see, the body is the biggest burden for the mind. It is a burden. It's something the mind has to endure. Because why? It's seeking for what? Pleasure. The mind wanted to see. The mind wanted to hear, smell, taste, touch. Because it wanted to taste what didn't eat. How can you taste? How does tasting happen? What's tasting? How does tasting happen? Tasting happens, you need to have what? A tongue. Now, when is the last time you saw a tongue just float in midair? No, for there to be a tongue, there needs to be what? There needs to be a way to a nervous system to connect it to a brain. Therefore, it needs nerves now and a brain. For there to be a tongue, the tongue has to move. Why? To be able to touch every surface of the food. Therefore, it needs muscles. Therefore, it needs a place to be. Therefore, it needs, muscles, skeleton. And then it needs a good blood supply. Therefore, it needs the circulatory system. And then when it moves, it creates waste. Therefore, it needs a waste excretory system. And therefore, one way or another, then when the entire body becomes sick, it needs to have a way to fight against its illnesses. Therefore, it gets what? The immune system. And now you have an entire body just because the mind wanted to taste food. Think about it. When you pass away, if your mind thinks, you know what, I wish I had another bite of pizza, your mind will come back with a body filled with diseases for you to taste pizza. Just think about this, right? We have to take care of the body. Now, I know I'm showing this to be a burden, right? And you have to wash it every day. You have to brush your teeth twice a day. You have to upkeep it. If you don't, your wound will become infected. And then you feel pain. Just remember the last time you stubbed your toe on something. You stubbed your toe on a table. How painful that was. Why was that? Because your mind wants to what? Taste. It wants to feel. It wants to see. That's why. When you're walking down this path and you step on a stone, whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? We have to blame the people who clean the path because there's a stone in it. Or how sometimes the tractor goes up and down, right? And sometimes it has, say, a load of aggregates, small stones, right? Sometimes it falls. It goes over a bump and it falls on the floor, right? We should start blaming the drivers, because they should clean this up, shouldn't they? Because once you step on it, it hurts. Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? Your own fault. Because why? Your mind likes what? Your mind came back to this world to do what? To consume food. I want to eat pizza. I want to eat chocolate. I'm going to come back to this world to eat chocolate. So it comes back. With a full body with 32 parts. For what? To have chocolate. Do you see, this is just the illnesses. Luckily, I'm no doctor. Right? But I do know there's an international, massive textbook. I think. Of illnesses after illnesses after illnesses. The ICD, I think it's called. Of illnesses. Things that the body can have. I think what is most surprising is if I was to ask you the simple question, are you sick? What is your answer? Either, yes, I am sick. Or, I know, I was sick in a couple days, weeks, months. There, I've never heard a person say, I've never been sick in the last year, or I've never had an injury in the last year. Every person I meet, you hear, I just had a cold the other day. I accidentally slipped over and grazed my knee. Or, I have lots of phlegm today. Very common. I have lots of phlegm today. All of these are what? All of these are the drawbacks of having a body. The drawbacks of having a body. You know, your body is the most fragile thing. Very fragile. You know, you're walking somewhere and you nick your elbow on some thorns. Now what? It's bleeding. Very fragile. Now, I have never broken a bone, but I know some of you may have. You fell over, snap. And as you grow older, your bones become more fragile. Therefore, you have to be more careful. Because when you fall over, bones will snap. You know, these are all the drawbacks of having a body. All because you came to this world for what? I want to eat chocolate. I want to experience, I want to experience touch. Therefore, I come back to this world. See, we're very focused. We're very, very focused on this wound that we have. People dress this wound in the most best way possible. They put a plaster, they put a colorful plaster on it. Right? Of beautiful colors, right? And then they decorate it with flowers and butterflies and rainbows. A wound. They try to cover all the imperfections. Oh no, it's a bit brown here. It's a bit red, too much red here. Let me change that. They're trying to change what? A wound. Because they don't see it as a wound. They see it as, this is me. This is who I am. Look at me. A walking, talking wound. A walking, talking wound. Look at me. I am amazing. I'm the best in the world. Look at me. No. I have no imperfections, or I have tons of imperfections, or whatever. It's a walking, talking wound you have. Just don't care about it for 6 hours. See what happens. Don't care about your wound for 6 hours. See what happens. The first one that happens is what? I'm hungry. Or, my tongue is parched. I need a bit of water. Constant upkeep. Think about this, right? Why do people enjoy sleeping? Why do people enjoy sleeping? There are two reasons. One reason is because once you're sleeping, you usually go into your dream world and your problems in life is gone. But what else? When you're sleeping, you don't feel the body. The body is at rest. Just think about this. How heavy do you think your head weighs? How heavy do you think your head weighs? I think, give or take, an adult's head will weigh a bit more than 5 kilograms. Maybe a bit more. It's either 5 or 10, I can't really remember. Probably around in between that. Your neck is supporting how much? Now, I would understand if your head and neck were like this. Exactly balanced on the middle. I would understand, because why? That means the neck has to do very little. What's that? Every time the head moves to one side, it's to pull on the other side. But that's not what your head looks like. Your neck is actually over here, which means constantly, what is your neck doing? Pull, pull, pull. To stop it from? You know, when you listen to sermons, sometimes, you know, you feel. Because your head is heavy that way. So your neck is constantly doing something, but you don't feel it because why? Your neck does feel pain. That's why sometimes, you know, when you're, you know, looking at something for so long, you actually have a neck pain. It's something that happens because this is something that your body has to continue to do. You know, to keep your neck, your head up, there is constant energy that needs to be supplied. Balancing? You know, walking? This is why your body is a burden to your mind, but you know, the mind covers it all up. It says, you know, it doesn't matter because why I get to eat chocolate. It doesn't matter because, you know, I can experience touch. Sensation of touch, it doesn't matter. Forget about all that. But it's a walking, talking wound. See it for what it is. See, when you go in front of the mirror, instead of seeing yourself, look at it as a wound. Now when I say, no, see, this is the thing, right? I don't mean, you know, you go up to the mirror and go, yeah. Right, like, look at the wound, it's disgusting. It's like, no, I'm not trying to disgust you. I'm just showing you the reality of the body. Not for you to be disgusted. For you to see it, instead of seeing this pleasurable thing that I'm very lucky to have. To see it as what it truly is. Cause and effect. The body is what? Cause and effect. A constant supply of causes to give this constant supply of effects. The body is cause and effect. It's a burden. But yet we think, no. I am so lucky to have a body like this. Now, this is the thing, like, again, once you know, we're very lucky to be in the monastery where, you know, we're not very focused on what we look or, you know, of our physiques. But once you step outside, what is everyone focused on? How they look. You know, I think one of the most, beneficial industries, you know, the most biggest industries, apart from like film and stuff, is clothing and makeup. Because why? People see themselves and say, you know, I have to look amazing. You know, I need to look the best I possibly can. Let me, you know, paint my face. Right, make me look different, make me look taller, make me look skinnier, make me look this, look at that. In order to make themselves feel what? Make their ego feel what? Oh, look, I exist. Appreciate me. I exist, appreciate me. Acknowledge my existence, please. That's why, you know, people, you know, that is one of the main reasons why we have social media. So people can acknowledge other people. You put a picture. What do people look forward to seeing? Likes and comments. Why? So the people can feel what? Oh, people acknowledge me. I have X many months of likes. I've got comments. Amazing, beautiful, stunning. So they feel what? Oh, people are acknowledging me. Oh, I exist. Or for them to feel what? I exist. They dress up a wound so they can feel that they exist. You know, leave your wound for another couple hours. You know, You've all seen yourselves when you wake up in the morning. Is it a pretty sight? You know, you get, you know, tears and earwax, and then you got snot, you got phlegm, saliva, and you got skin, you got hair. This is the body. I mean, we fall for the sight of a body. We judge a person. We judge a mind according to a body. How is that? How do we do that? We look at someone and we say, you know, they're probably really nice. They're probably really kind. They're probably really aggressive. Maybe they get really angry. I mean, there are indications, of course, you know, some people, you know, you can tell by the way they look what sort of mindset they have. But it's you're looking at a body and trying to judge a mind. And it's very common. I mean, if you don't realize it, it happens very subconsciously as well. For example, people who wear glasses, right? They are typically seen to be smarter than people who don't wear glasses. Is that the case? No, but people assume. People just assume that. Because we give great value to the body. We give great value to looks. We give a lot of value for all of this. See, we fall for just, you know, if you think about this, right? When you see a person, you are falling for colors and shapes. That's it. So, skin. Because if you think about this, you don't look at bones and say, oh, these are good bones. Unless you're not like a paleontologist? The people who dig for bones? Archaeologists. Unless you're an archaeologist, you don't go and look at bones and say, oh, these are good bones. You don't go look at, you know, a heap of skin and say, wow, this is good skin. No, we look at all this and we create this idea that this is a person. We project this idea that this is a person and this person is good. This person is bad. Thanks to who? Thanks to best friend? Ego. So take a step back and see the world as it is. No. All of these are what? Things that can happen in this moment. All these are done by who? No, all these things are done according to the causes. No one does any of this. You can't think, you can't speak, you can only put the causes together. When the causes align, there's a manifestation. That manifestation is what we call drinking. You do what? Just claim and say, oh, that's me. I did that. You just claim saying, oh, I did that. Oh, sleeping? I fell asleep. For example, waking up in the morning. Do you wake up in the morning? No, something wakes you. Something has to happen for you to wake up. Because you are not conscious when you are asleep. You don't go to sleep and you think, okay, now it's time to wake up. And then you come to your senses. No, you come to your senses and then you think, oh, I should get out of bed. So waking up is also what? Something that you don't do, something that happens. But why do you take, why do you think that this is you? See, come into seeing the world as it is. Come to understanding the world as it truly is. Because this is what is actually happening. These things are happening. This is a fallacy. This is false. This is actually, should be, or in other words, in other words, cause and effect. In other words, anicca. In other words, dukkha. In other words, anatta. See, if I say you are part of nature, that's wrong. You are not part of nature. And nature's not part of you. You are nature. And nature is not you. You are nature. You are part of nature. You are not this separate being that you feel to be, you know, oh, this is me, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. No, you are what? You are just a part, you are nature. Nature taking place. But you take ownership and you think, this is me. I am breathing. I am talking. I am thinking, sleeping, feeling, walking, seeing, drinking, smelling, listening, tasting, eating, studying, digesting. I am doing that. So this is, like I said, this is one of the best karma standards to start to see the world as it truly is whenever you're walking, doing anything, see it as kaya sankara. See it as mano sankara. See it as vachi sankara. That's it. See for what it is. Once you see it, you will realize the entire world is what? Cause and effect. Because there's only two things in this world. Either manifestation or non-manifestation. Meaning, when either causes have come together to give rise to a manifestation, or causes have not come together to not have a manifestation. So for example, causes at this moment give rise to the manifestation of what? A pen. But, you know, the causes have not manifested an elephant. So either there is, or manifestation, or not yet manifested, or not manifested. That's all there is in this world. The idea of time is just an illusion. It's just a feeling. So, excuse me. So if we were to look at why, then why do we feel what we feel? Because it's what we need to do is see three things. There are three things that we always have to see. What is happening right now? Like why am I feeling what I'm feeling right now? What am I supposed to be feeling? And then why am I feeling what I'm feeling? Because what you need, so it's, I think the example that Guru Hanuman has given us is like, it's almost like cleaning a place. So for example, let's say I'm trying to clean this table. So let's say there's pens all over the table and I have to clean the table. What is the first thing I should know? First thing I should know is what? How the table should look. What else should I know? What is there that shouldn't be there? And then? Then I have to find out what is actually there. Then I find out what is there that shouldn't be there. And then you can remove those, put them back, and then it's tidy. Same thing with tidying your mind. First thing you have to do is find out what it should be. What is the mindset of an arahant? Which is which one? We have two processes. What are the two processes? We have The what are the two processes that we have? There you go. The aggregation process, which is, you know, stimulus, Argus, SV, right? And this is what our mind should be. This is what it should be. Now you look at, okay, then what do we have now then? We see RS, SSV, we have that. But then we also have plus. which is another word for ego. Then you ask yourself, okay, so this is what it's supposed to be. This is what it is. Then the question is what? Where did this come from? Then you see what? Then you see, you know, ignorance, attachment, vexation, and then insanity, which gives rise to... Then you see this. Now, the absolute beautiful thing about this is what is happening right... this is what's happening right now. This is what's supposed to be happening. Which means what? If this is what's happening right now, and this is what's supposed to be happening, what does that mean? Inside each and every mind, what do we have? That's the most straightest line I've seen. There you go. What do we have? What's this? An Arahant. In each and every one of our minds, we have what? An Arahant. Plus defilements. We have an Arahant plus defilements, which gives us who we are now. So we have to understand that, okay, defilements, where did that come from? Defilements, well, ego, right, came from insanity mode, which came from vexation, which came from attachment, which came from ignorance. Ignorance of what? So when we do, see, the word, the, you know, when we talk about ignorance, it's always the ignorance of what? Ignorance of what? Ignorance of the process. Which is very strange, isn't it? The ignorance of the process gives rise to the process. So when you understand the process, what happens? Ignorance decreases. Ignorance disappears. So by understanding the process itself, what's happening right now? Because what is this process actually showing you? What is the process actually showing you? That ego is fixed. That ego is what? Cause and effect. This process is showing you what? That ego, or the word, dukkha, is anicca. So by seeing the process itself, you're getting rid of what? Ignorance. That's the thing. This is the beauty of it. By seeing the problem what? Disappears. So all we have to do is we have to see the problem. We have to see what is actually happening. See what is there, what else is there, and how did this come? And when you see that, what happens? You are cleaning this mind. You're getting rid of what? This defilement. Now this is the thing, right? Remember, you cannot attain Nibbana. Remember that. You cannot attain Nibbana. That's something that you need to have in your mind. Because the moment you have, I can attain Nibbana. Now, I am trying to get rid of this. I am getting rid of ignorance. I am getting rid of attachment. I am getting rid of vexation. I am getting rid of insanity. I am getting rid of ego. Ego is getting rid of ego. Which is basically saying, you know, a fire is trying to extinguish a fire. Cannot happen. Fire will only increase the fire. Because if you think that I am here to attain Nibbana, what's happening is you are feeding what? Ego. I cannot do anything. I has never done anything before. Remember, we had all those things. I didn't do anything. So even attain Nibbana, I can't do. But what can happen? All we can do is create the environment for Nibbana to happen. Which is what? All we can do is start to increase our understanding of what? anicca, dukkha, anatta. Anicca, dukkha, anatta. There you go. Anicca, dukkha, anatta. All we can do is increase so it's not increasing the width. How much anicca, dukkha, anatta I have to understand. No, it's understanding the depth. The more deeper we understand anicca, dukkha, anatta, and it's not even deeper as in, you know, I'm going to find a way how to, you know, put it into a single thought moment and, you know, the chitta, the chaitasika, the rupa. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about just understanding anicca, dukkha, anatta. When you've understood it, what will happen is you are now creating the medicine. Once you have the medicine, now you have to all you have to do is now show the problem. It's like training security dogs. These are the three dogs, right? You're now training them. All you have to do is now what? Just go and say, oh, there's the enemy. Now what happened? This will now attack this. And then Nibbana will what? Happen. Because remember, you can't attain Nibbana. This is why sometimes, you know, sometimes your teachers will tell you things which don't make a sense, and not only just sense, but it doesn't make a direct connection with Nibbana. But it does. For example, your teachers will say, you know, every single day, don't miss Buddha Puja. Buddha Puja and Anicca, how do they go together? Buddha Puja and Dukkha, how do they go together? Buddha Puja and Anatta, like, where's the connection there? But there is. Because what is the Buddha Puja doing? It may not be something directly here, but it's indirectly. What it's doing is creating the environment. Because anicca dukkha anatta is the medicine, but the medicine needs to be applied somewhere. It's like getting the most powerful antibiotic possible, but not using it. Not putting it anywhere. Not putting it to use. So your teachers will say, you know, chant Buddha guna. Right, try finding, you know, 5-10 minutes to chant Buddha Guna. Buddha Guna? Buddha Guna and Dukkha, how do they relate? Buddha Guna and Anicca, how do they relate? Where is the connection there? No, it's creating the environment. Environment for the antibiotic to be taken. I think one of the most powerful things your teachers would always tell you is, you know, don't talk about the past, about your past life. You know, before I came to the monastery, you know, even Guru Handra says, and I 100% agree, is that, you know, sometimes you talk with other people and you say, you know, this is the life I used to have, and you know, it's a useless life. But when you talk about this, what is happening is what? You are reliving it. So what you're doing actually is what? Feeding ego. So for example, you know, in my lay life, you know, I ate the world's biggest pizza, aparade. When you say, you know, I'm eating the world's largest pizza, what are you doing? Your mind is going back in time, and again, if you have ignorance, what will happen? World's largest pizza, aparade. So you're enjoying that moment and then thinking, I shouldn't be enjoying that moment. I shouldn't be, but you have. So conversing with one another about, you know, the life that you used to live, that is one of the worst things you can do. Not just to yourself, but to the other person. That's why I continuously say, you know, you should murder your past. Murder it. And hide the evidence. Who? The past? I've never heard of it. Hide the evidence. Because all you're doing is, you're now creating the environment, not for this, but for this. You're creating the environment for ego. Because think about this, you're talking about your past. Whose past? My past. In the past, I was X, Y, and Z. In the past, this is what I did. I did. Ego. Where does anicca dukkhanatta fit in? That's why your teachers will say, you know, don't talk about your past. That is katha katha kandipa. These 32 types of talks. Someday we will go and explain all these 32 types, because I do know some of our online viewers, as well as, you know, others may not know all 32 types. So it's something that we will go through in a future talk as well. But, you know, there are things that oppose this. Because remember, you aren't the one attaining Nibbana. You know, something that Guru Ramadhar had also said, and, you know, it's something that we have to understand as well, is that, you know, I want to attain Nibbana as quickly as possible. Well, I'm going to take a slow and steady, relaxed journey to Nibbana. Both these are what? Correct? Both these are wrong. Because what are you doing? You're thinking about, not about this, you're talking about how I'm going to take Nibbana quickly or slowly. Talking about a future. But Nibbana can't happen in the future. Nibbana can only happen when? At this Pachupanna moment. That's why it's one of the most harmful things, and I think is something that parents give their children, is that, you know, Nibbana Buddha can happen, you know, when you're 50. Right? You know, you focus on your education now, but then in the future you can become an arhant. And to this day, unfortunately, lots of children think, you know, Nibbana is something that I want to do later. And, you know, first I want to go to uni, enjoy my life, and then I'll attain Nibbana. Again, they're talking about what? Future. But Nibbana doesn't happen in the future. Nibbana never happens in the future. So if you ever wish to attain Nibbana in the future, it's not going to happen. Because Nibbana can only happen when? At this moment. This is the beauty of it. This is the absolute beauty of it. At this moment. So how can you waste your time? How can you waste your time? By thinking Nibbana will happen in the future. That's the best way to waste your time. Only if you think I can only attain Nibbana now, are you going to practice now? Are you going to do something now? Are you going to contemplate now? Are you going to think about this now? You know, tomorrow I'm going to go to the Valley Maluwa. So I'm going to contemplate about this tomorrow, I promise. Tomorrow? Tomorrow? What's tomorrow? Now. Contemplate now. See at every moment now. You know, this can only be applied when? Now. Not today, not tomorrow, not the next day. At this moment. So if any of you have the idea of attaining Nibbana in the future, just let it go. It's not going to happen. It's funny because someone can like take a clip of this and say, oh, look, he says Nibbana is not going to happen. I don't think Nibbana will happen in the future. Nibbana can only happen now. In this very mind can Nibbana happen, not in the future. But, you know, I'm still very new. I've only listened to 1, 2, 3 sermons. Still, Nibbana can only happen in this mind. In this very mind, in this single moment. So the best way to waste your time is, you know, Nibbana will happen in the future. This is the thing, right? Every single time. increase your understanding, your application of this. Once you do that, this will happen. Getting rid of this will happen. Don't focus on getting rid of this. Focus on increasing your application and knowledge of this. This is why it's really important, right? That we have that you have constant discussions. This is why, you know, with your fellow, you know, Siddha Shravikas, Shravikas, fellow Anagarikas, Anagarikas, fellow monks, is you have these conversations. You know, instead of talking about, you know, yesterday night, you know, this happened, you should talk about, you know, how do you apply Anicca to this? These are the sort of conversations you should be having. Instead of thinking, you know, what do you think the weather is going to be like today? You'd be thinking, what is this quality of dukkha? That's the conversation we should be having. Nothing more. See, we are very fortunate. Like I said in the beginning, we are very fortunate to be in an environment, be amongst so many great people. You know, something that I really want every one of you to have the mindset of is to have the mindset of that everyone around you is better. Everyone around you knows more. Everyone around you is higher in some sort of way. Because only then will you be a student. Only then are you willing to learn. Because trust me when I say this, every one of you has a lesson to teach. To teach me. Every single one of you. Because an arahant is someone who has the qualities of each and every one of you. So each and every one of you has a lesson to teach. But if I was to think, no, I am the biggest here, I am the most senior amongst all of you, you better listen to me, no, I should listen to you. Then you're doing harm. No, even the Anagarika, or, you know, even the devotee that comes today, the first time today, they have a lesson to teach. Only if you're willing to listen. Because what you have to remember is seniority is a concept. Because which mind is more senior? Which rupa is more senior? Which vedana is more senior? Sanya? Oh, sanya, you know, this sanya is more senior than that sanya. No, there is a senior in the way that there's a difference in qualities, I agree. And that's why the Buddha has qualities, and therefore he's senior. But his mind is the same. His mind doesn't have a special rupa or a special vedana. No, it's still rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana. Even the Buddha himself, in several occasions, was he a student? Just remember, you know the story of Aloka Yaksha. Right? Aloka says, Mahana, get out. He comes in, the Buddha walks out. Mahana, come in. The Buddha comes back in. Mahana, get out. The Buddha goes back out. The Buddha, the being, the supreme being with the knowledge of the entire universe, who has, you know, who has the supernatural powers to, you know, destroy the entire world and create another world somewhere else in the universe. When some small, well, he's not really small, but you get what I mean, right? This is the Alokayaksha says, you know, get out. Okay. It's absolutely incredible. You have to understand that mindset that the Buddha had. Because remember, of course, I mean, it would be very silly for me to say, you know, the Buddha didn't have any ego. I mean, that's very silly for me to say. But ego hasn't, you know, tarnished that mind at all, right? Should be the same here. So seniority is also what? A concept. But that does not mean, right? Don't get me wrong. You have to always respect your seniors. But seniority is a concept. So So, you know, there are, you know, even in the sasana, there are vatpilivet, so there are certain duties that less senior has to do to the more seniors and all this. And so please do all that. However, understand seniority is... So this is not me talking about the less seniors looking at the more seniors and saying that they're just the same level. I'm talking to the more seniors to put them down to the same level as the less seniors. But do treat everyone, especially your seniors, with the utmost respect. But everyone especially. Because they have a lesson to teach. So remember, continue to increase your knowledge, increase your application of anicca dukkha-anatta. That's all you have to do. You know, as you are walking, as you are doing things, remember, think of it as kaya sankhara, vachi sankhara, mano sankhara. Put them into the three groups. See it as you're eating. You know, this is what? Kaya sankhara. And then when you put it into mass, you're tasting. Tasting is what? Mano sankhara. Smelling is what? Not the physical smelling, but when there's a scent, when you perceive a scent, remember that's what? Mano sankhara. When you are hearing, you know, when the Mahasangha goes some Pindapada, when you hear Tina Dosani Ketani, you understand this is what? Mano sankhara that's happening. Put them all in these three groups and see it to be anicca. See it to be dukkha, to see it to be anatta. Okay, let's take a few moments to transfer the merits of your guide by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirith, listening Dharma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. So first and foremost, let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of Buddhist teachings. And with immense gratitude, let's transfer the merits to Bhikshu Bhikshunis, Upasakas, Upasakas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teaching of the Buddha and passed it down to the generation of the noble lineage in the form of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, to comprehend Dhamma. Let's also take a moment to transfer the merits to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including all the chief priests of all the chapters, who have dedicated their lives to the noble path and committed themselves to betterment of all sentient beings. Let's not forget, among them will be the monks and nuns resident in local temples and nunneries who have always been by your side to think of them, come in or shine. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to Guru Sananse, as well as the other monks resident of the monastery, as well as our Nagarikas and Nagarikas attached to the monastery. Let's take a moment to transfer merits and special gratitude to those who made great efforts to disseminate the teaching of the Buddha, be there by translating the sermons, sharing them out with others, inviting others to join them. May the power of the merits, if anything, born in the willful plains, may they redeem themselves and born in the blissful plains. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from our meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits that we've acquired to our devotees, friends of the monastery who forsake our merits, continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes every one of you who contributed to the construction of the monastery, to those of you who provide the Mahasangha with shelter, alms, robes, medicines, as well as those who pass on their know-how, extend their well wishes. May through the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer the merits to our mothers, fathers, husbands and wives, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, grandpas, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, nieces, our elders, friends and acquaintances, employees, and to all those who have helped us, supported us, assisted us in any way, shape or form. By the power of the merits, may they heal the physical mental ailments, may they overcome any obstacles in their spiritual progress, may they abstain from unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to Devas, Brahmas, spirits, demons, primarily the Sakudeva, as well as numerous gods and deities, who are committed to protect and fulfill the Sambuddha Sasana. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to our garden deities, who keep a watchful eye of us and keep us out of harm's way. May the power of the merits, may they prosper in divine power and wisdom, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's also taking a moment to transfer merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all those been friends and family to us, And acquaintances in the infinitely long journey in samsara, let's take a moment to transfer these merits to them. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all the members of the armed forces, as well as the police force, who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all those lost lives in the world be the friend of her. Rejoice in the merits acquired today. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all those lost in life in natural calamities, such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides, pandemics. Reminding ourselves among them will be those and friends of harm to us. In this long journey, samsara, may by the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the world of planes, may they redeem themselves and be born in discipline. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let's all resolve, may the power and blessing of all the merits acquired throughout the day. We have been witness the event of many hundreds of thousands of Arat Mehnuances in this blessed land. And finally, may through all the power of all the merits acquired throughout the day, you and I never made this program a success, become an Arhat Nuvanse or Arhat Mehnuvanse in this very life, in the era of the Gautama Buddha, in the Gautama Buddha Sasana itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessing of Chupa Chem be with you all. The Mahasangha will now transfer their blessings to you. Raga ginnen midetnva Dvesha ginnen midetnva Moha ginnen midetnva Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukita taravetnva Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukita taravetnva Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukita taravetnva Mamada siyalu loka siyalu satvayo Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukita taravetnva Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukita taravetnva Nibbana parama sukhayin Sukita taravetnva Raga gini niveva Dvesha gini niveva Moha gini niveva Nivan sapa labeva Nivan sapa labeva Nivan sapa labeva